There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along this hour, like all the other hours. The phone number and the text line are the same. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. And you can get through and ask questions. And this man probably has some answers to a lot of questions we have since he was there in the mix. I'll just call him the redistricting man from way back, the man who chooses to deal with maps and all that stuff. I don't know why he does it, but he's a District 101 representative and Speaker Pro Tem of the House. The crowd goes wild. Chris Pringle, hey man.
Hey Sean, and as always, hey Laura, hey mom.
Yeah, say, tell hello to the ladies. You could do that. You could talk to them a little bit more. I'm doing two things. We can describe. Sometimes I'm telling the audience I'm doing something. They're like, this probably isn't real. But you saw me open up a box. So they delivered a box here while I was in that last segment, and it is chock full of tungsten turkey, 20 and 410 turkey rounds, because I'm part of this panic buying because we're not going to get any more tungsten. So even though I may have some tungsten, every time I can, I buy more. It gets delivered at the same time. I got to open this thing up. If this thing goes off like a bomb, we may be in trouble. I'm sorry about that to your mom and to your wife. But at the same time, y'all, I got a delivery here from People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. So PETA has sent me something here. What have they sent me? PETA has sent me, well, this is not bad. Give a turtle a break. You see these? These are,
yeah.
I'm not hunting any turtles. Give it to, so it is Squishies from PETA. Says, let's celebrate a gift from PETA for World Turtle Day. So I just was worried it was some kind of explosive device with me. But yes, I got something from People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals and a delivery of tungsten shot shells to kill turkeys with at the same time.
Well, yeah, and I'm one of the guys that will stop and get a turtle off the middle of the road.
As do I, actually. As do I. My son and I, who's back there listening today, we're coming down the road, and yeah, we had to do a evasive maneuver today not to hit a turtle. So,
exactly.
Peter, you should be happy. I'm not messing with the turtles. Turkey's a different story. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Okay. I've been trying to talk about what happened last week and what this means going forward. But having you in here, let's talk about what happened last week and what that means, because a lot of people have said, oh, well, they went into a special session, they passed this stuff, that means that the districts have now changed. That's not
exactly right. I think Wes Allen did an excellent job in your earlier segment kind of explaining what's happened. And again, I'm going to repeat this for your audience. We are under a federal court order not to redraw districts until 2030. So when we went into special session, we've got an appeal before the Supreme Court asking them to overturn the Milliken ruling for us. The court, Friday afternoon, shortly after the bills were signed into law, set a 5 o'clock deadline today for the plaintiffs to have their arguments before the court. Sometime Thursday, the court will convene, and it's kind of behind closed doors. I don't know the exact name of it, but they're going to talk about where they want to proceed. And they could grant our injunction, or they could make some other ruling. So we're going to see what happens either Friday or Monday of next week to see.
Do you think that it's binary? In other words, they will grant? I mean, you said do something different. So it's not just a yes, no. Do you think it could be something in between?
The court always finds a way to, the arguments in the Calais case was completely throw out Section 2.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they kind of went down the middle and just changed the way you bring these challenges.
Okay, explain that. That's a little more in-depth than the rest of us have been.
They didn't throw out Section 2. And what you're hearing is the same hue and cry from these liberal organizations that make millions and millions of dollars off these lawsuits. When they did away with Section 5 preclearance,
13 years ago.
Oh, it was horrible. Yes. They had destroyed the Voting Rights Act. And I always said, you still have Section 2. And now they're saying the same thing. They've destroyed Section 2. They've done away. No, they haven't. What they've done is said, to bring the lawsuit, you cannot take as prima facie evidence that blacks vote in Democrat and whites vote in Republican as prima facie evidence of racial discrimination. See, they would file these lawsuits against us and say, that proves a racial discrimination in this plan. We're like, then we have to go in and try and unpack that and say, no, that's political. It's not racial. It's just the way politics are. And we had to unprove that assumption. And the court came back and said, we're not going to accept that as proof. Now the plaintiffs are going to have to prove that there was racial intent that was done racially, and they can't just say because of that result, it's automatic. And that's what's going to make it so hard for them to file these lawsuits. And this is all about money. I'm going to say this for the first time out loud. When the lawyers got down in the Senate race, the Senate map, the last two Senate districts, they made a majority black Senate district, majority white, and majority white, majority black. One of our attorneys looked at the lawyers for the plaintiffs and said, you've accomplished nothing. Why are you doing this? And the lawyer said, yeah, they just said, you're throwing Hatcher under the bus. He goes, we don't care about Hatcher. We're doing this because we need to get paid.
They said it.
It's about money. It's all about money for these organizations. And don't ever think for
so if this changes, you know, the Calais rule and the changes for the removal of the injunction against Alabama, there's not a reason to file lawsuits.
Well, it's going to be much harder for them to prove it. So the chances of them filing, I mean, you got to remember, they have a $380 million trust fund for them to finance these lawsuits all over the nation.
And that comes from where?
I'm not sure exactly where it comes from, but do you remember Eric Holder was?
Sure.
Okay. He was the Attorney General of the United States of America. He wrote a letter back when we had Section 5 preclearance. Said, your districts comply with Section 2 and the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. You're good to go with the plan you drew.
I remember this.
6 months later, he'd been hired by this organization. He was no longer Attorney General. Filed a lawsuit against us saying, your plans violate Section 2 of the 14th Amendment.
I remember being confused about this, and I don't know if I called you back then because I had talked about how big a thing that preclearance was gone, and Eric Holder was part of this, and I celebrated. I was like, this is good. We're moving on. We're living in the time we're living in. And then sometime later, so you told me it's 6 months, that I hear he's suing on it, and I was confused. I thought I had it wrong in the first place, but I didn't. He just went 180.
He's getting paid to. His paycheck went from forcing the law to filing lawsuits. I mean, there's a whole $380 million trust fund out there. And all this stuff is...
Which then sues, and then they make money back that goes into the trust fund or pays somebody. Somebody's getting paid.
Yeah, because, we had to pay a couple million dollars to the lawyers in the Milligan case. The plaintiffs, a couple million. I can't remember, it was like $5 million, $6 million, something like that.
It's pretty decent payday.
Yeah, you know.
I want to ask a bunch of stuff that happened to kind of following what y'all were dealing with last week. Before we do, though, I've got this question. I was talking about y'all last week, a different guest I had on. And my question was, if, let's take, for example, if AL2 and AL7, okay, because this is about party politics, right, and not raising, this is me trying to, if there was a white Democrat in AL2 and AL7, y'all would still be trying to redistrict it for Republicans to win, party-wise.
It's a political battle.
So, once again, it's not about this. If that person in 2 and 7 were white and they were a Democrat, you Republicans would still try this to redistrict.
What makes you think we won't run an African-American Republican?
Well, I've said the same thing. I said, so, in my second part of it, we're going to have you answer that, but if I could get somebody, if they would ever talk to me, from Alabama Democrats, is if there was... A black Republican in AL2 and AL7, would you be upset about this?
We'd be happy.
Right. So that's it gets down to the question is, and it's legal to gerrymander based on politics. Right? That part is legal.
Oh, yeah. A political gerrymander is perfectly legal. But if you listen to the Louisiana, when they were before the Supreme Court, I knew they had a great lawyer. When the judge asked their lawyer, how did you arrive at drawing the second majority minority district? And the lawyer said, we saw the way the federal court racially gerrymandered the state of Alabama, and we didn't want them to do it to us. So for political reasons, we went ahead and racially gerrymandered ourselves so we could protect the Speaker of the House, the Majority Leader of the House, and whatever member they have that's on appropriations. Said it was a political gerrymander in order to avoid a racial gerrymander from the courts.
They figured there's like a political sacrifice over here to protect these others.
And I said, that's a brave man. And it worked. And it worked well. Because, you know, the United States Department of Justice in that Louisiana case, they came up and said exactly what I've said from the beginning of this. They talked about what a terrible job the Solicitor General from Alabama did in the Milliken case. I mean, the Justice Department said, well, the reason Milliken's the way it is the Solicitor General did a horrible job.
And you and I, we talked about that some before, but the way it was presented, or what part of it was the...
The arguments were wrong. I mean, if you go back and read the original ruling from Milliken, Kavanaugh said, had the Solicitor General from the state of Alabama come before this court and argued the case before the court, I would have voted with him. But he instead decided to argue another case, and I couldn't vote with him.
And that it was that close to not having... to have the SCOTUS rule against Alabama.
Just repeating what Kavanaugh wrote in his opinion.
You talk about this, so we'll get a few minutes and we'll come back after the break and talk about it. But I want to talk about, you number one said it's about the money. And for the groups out there that bring the suits, but are they associated with the protests? Because, I mean, I saw videos, I got reports from folks, what y'all were dealing with last week in Montgomery. Not just the fact that protests, you know me, my civil libertarian butt will defend every protest that's nonviolent ever. But there was a disrupted protest going on to the point that there were threats made against y'all. You talked about you had to have security.
I had armed guards escorting me this week, yeah. I've never had to have armed security around me.
Armed security?
Yeah.
Up on Goat Hill.
I was walked to my car to come home Friday by two armed state troopers. Took me to my car and watched me drive off, make sure I was safe.
So obviously they're working off some information that there were physical threats.
I've seen hundreds of protests in the state house. And we don't lock the building down the way we had to this week for most of them. Occasionally they'll close a little off. But you could tell how well orchestrated and professional these protesters were.
Now, what makes you say that?
Well, an hour before the protest was supposed to, quote, start, the sound system showed up, got all set up, was checked, ready to go. The music was playing when the buses rolled up and protesters got off the buses and with their printed T-shirts, carrying their printed signs. They had a place set up for them with all their water and snacks and drinks and everything else. It was all there for them. It was all provided. And you get into, I noticed this when I was before the committee, you would have one person jump up and start a chant. And the second that person started yelling, you know, the chant, another one somewhere else would jump up and start. It was like, then
everybody knew the chant.
I started picking up. I said, they're all saying that about the same number of times. And I guess they're counting them. And when he says it X number of times, somebody else picks up and jumps up with another chant and just keep going. It was very well executed, very, very strategic.
I'll tell you what, if we come back from the break, I want to see if you've, like, the number of people, do you think this was grassroots? Do you think they were coming in from out of state? All right, coming back, more with Chris Pringle right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Now, I don't want to scare my current guest here, but you know what? These turtles that were sent to me by PETA at the same time I got a delivery of shot shells, could have hantavirus in the turtle. So every time I squeeze this thing, just ideas. I threw that one over there by him. Hey, welcome back. 251-343-0106. Our conversation with District 101 Representative and Speaker Pro Tem, and the man that chooses to draw maps. I don't know why, because somebody's got to do it. It's Chris Pringle.
Thank you.
So, and also for just kind of the ham-fisted part of this, when we get back into the narrow, but is what y'all did in special session is to say, in regular, you and I are talking, sitting in the back of the truck, give me regular people language. What did y'all do?
Should the Supreme Court lift the injunction against us and the ruling, then we want to go back to the plan passed, the congressional plan passed by the legislature in 2023, and have special primary elections under that plan. So that way we'll have the nominees selected by the Republicans and Democrats in those districts placed on the general election ballot in November.
Okay.
So, yeah, if I had my magic wand, I'd like to go back to the 2021 plan that, you know, I drew that. And I'm going to tell you another one I've never said live on the air. That 2021 plan, the original plan we passed, the one that was drawn, and Terry Sewell helped us draw it, and Terry Sewell agreed to it and said it was a good plan.
Really? 2021's plan?
Yeah. All seven members of Congress signed off on that, including Terry Sewell. I flew the map maker to Washington. He met with her, and she said, this is the plan I like. That's the plan I'd like, but that's not the plan that's been superseded by the 2023 plan.
So we talked about the protest going on last week, and interesting, you said it was a mix. It was both people from outside and inside, and I mean, you and I talked about the kids from Tuskegee you thought did a great job.
Oh, those kids from Tuskegee were they made some really good speeches, you know.
And they were there to offer their opinion why they didn't think that we should go back to the 2023.
And I don't have to agree with you and appreciate
right, but there's a way to there's
an,
a way to,
an articulate, well thought out argument.
Yeah,
which is what they
one of those where you go, dang, okay, I got some work to do here. I got to think about this.
And what you saw was a mix of students from Tuskegee, some local people from different Black Belt counties, but spread out in that room amongst that crowd, you could tell somebody would jump up and start chanting a chant. And the moment they finished, somebody else on the other side of the room jumped up with another chant. And they chanted about the same length of time, and then somebody else in another area would jump up and chant. You could tell that these were professionals that have done this. They knew how long that one person was going to say that chant and the other one would start in. It was very well orchestrated. I mean, the sound system showed up an hour before the protest, and it was sound checked. The buses rolled in. They got off with their T-shirts and their sign, their printed signs, and they had a special area set up with snacks. They had soft drinks and water and chips. I don't know what they had, but they had this place for them to go get snacks. That doesn't just appear.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody is paying for this. Somebody's orchestrating this.
Well, national Democrats should be worried about this, because between here and around the country, this could be 7+ House seats, right? This is the political game, right?
Well, it's, you know, you can get into this, and I'll peel the onion for you.
Please.
They're yelling and screaming. We're going, all the Black members of Congress are going away. Well, they're not.
No.
That's not going to happen. You cannot take an area under the, because the Jingles test is still in place. Compactness, continuity, communities of interest. You can't take, this is what the Democrats used to do. This is where we get the cracking part. The Democrats would go into an area like a Mobile, going to Pritchard, and they would split a predominantly Black area into threes. And they'd give a third to one district, a third to the other. That way, a Black couldn't get elected, but only a white Democrat could win. Mm-hmm. That's where the court came and said, you can't crack.
Can't do that.
You
yeah.
can't crack.
Communities of interest, yeah.
And if you start trying to draw Black districts out, you're going to get into a retrogression issue. I mean, you might be able to change some of them, some of these illegally gerrymandered districts that the courts did that stretched all the way across the state.
Yeah, state line to state line, yeah.
But if you have a clear, compact, and contiguous district, you cannot undo it. This is what
you
I ran
can't into. Crack it.
This is what I ran into with Charlotte Meadows district in Montgomery County. It was a majority Black district. I couldn't undo that. Charlotte lost.
Coming right back, and we'll get your questions from the text line and the phone line at 251-343-0106.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Check in with my buddy David McCrary to get the week started. What's happening in the world of finance? Like, we're always talking about vehicle selection at LCM. What about financing?
Well, you know, it's one of the biggest things we talk about every once in a while, you and I, is bankruptcy. You know, everybody says they have a program for someone in currently in bankruptcy. We can help you. We actually do have a program. It's not a bogus program. We put you in a nice car. You got to have a down payment like everybody else. But if you are currently in bankruptcy, come see us. Let us see if we can help you.
Okay. Let's talk about this as well. You can check out vehicles online. You could probably even put a request in to see about getting that financing.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can go online in LCM Motor Cars and see all the cars, and you can apply for the financing there. You can send us emails with your bankruptcy letter from the court. Anything that, you know, proof income, whatever we need, all is very, very easy.
Okay, tell them how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A, on third red light on the left. You can give us a call, 251-375-0068. Or like I said earlier, go to that website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Hey, thanks, David.
Have a good day, buddy.
Hey, you too. There goes David over at LCM Motor Cars. Continue our conversation with Chris Pringle. Came through this last week, and now I appreciate that description because this is and what was the thing we learned in early programming? And if that, then this, or something to that effect. Like, so what y'all did last week is dependent on what the Supreme Court says.
Exactly. We followed the law.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what we did. We were under an injunction that we could not redraw our maps. To do so would be, you know, a violation of a federal court order. So we went in and set up a process under the Calais ruling. Should they reverse Milligan, which they're going to have hearings on this week, then we're in a position automatically to set the process in motion to come up with nominees, both Republican and Democrat, in the affected congressional districts. It'll be District 1, 2, 6, and 7.
Yeah, and it is interesting, just the kind of the takeaway Main Street level is the, you know, people get, and we're voting, by the way, right? We're voting again a week. It's May 19th. It is happening. Go vote. Yeah, it's a week from tomorrow. Go vote, go vote, go vote. All right. But conceivably, there are people like, let's look at AL1. Like I put myself, I live in AL1, and that I, you know, can make my vote on Tuesday in the AL1 congressional race, and I could come back to it this summer. And one of the people, two of the people might not be on that ballot the next time I get hold of it.
Exactly.
And that person will show up on a ballot that they weren't on before.
Exactly. So it goes back to that 2023 map is all it does.
Let's grab some more tape. Let's go to the phones first, though. Clint is in Somerdale, and you're on with Chris Pringle. Hey, Clint.
Hey, Sean. How are you?
All right, man.
All right. Following up on our Friday discussion. So I get to ask Chris.
Yeah.
First of all, your gaslighting is impeccable. You talk about paid protesters, attorney wanting money, security walking into your car. You're doing everything but talking about the actual issue. So congratulations.
I think he talked about the actual issue the whole time. I'm the one who asked him about what I saw last week in the, you know.
And I love how you're an apologist for him. But let me ask you a question.
You're also a fool, but go ahead.
This really comes down to this. So Supreme Court says, and this isn't Republican, Democrat, nothing, just dealing with facts. Supreme Court says 2021 maps that you drew, Chris, discriminated against blacks. 2023 federal court rules that it discriminated against blacks. Why would you want to go back to using that map? Why wouldn't you wait 4 years, in the meantime, come up with a better solution? That is my question.
I still contend the 2021 map is not unconstitutional. And the 2023 map is the last map passed by the legislature and enacted into law. So if the court changes their ruling and removes the injunction against us, we automatically default back to the last law the state had, and that will be the 2023 map.
There we go.
Can you answer my question, though? Why would you want to use a map that 2021 Supreme Court said discriminated against blacks, 2023 federal court said discriminated against blacks. Why wouldn't you want to take your time over the next few years and come up with a better solution that neither the Supreme or federal courts would say discriminated against blacks? That is my question.
We will do that in 2030. After the next census.
Census
in 2030, and somewhere around 2032, the legislature will begin to redraw maps.
But don't we agree
that's good? That's good. But why don't you just wait until? Why don't you just drop what you're doing now? Why would you want to go use those racially discriminatory maps now?
Because the court ruled in Calais that the racially gerrymandered maps drawn by the federal courts are unconstitutional because they move race as the primary motivation for drawing those maps. They did it in Louisiana, and the federal courts in Alabama used race exclusively to draw those maps, and the court has now ruled that to be unconstitutional.
That those were racially drawn.
I'm asking why you want to go back to racially discriminatory maps. That's what I'm asking.
Let me just throw this in now. Hold on. Sport. Because then this map right now is racially gerrymandered, right? That's the question of the Calais case. So racially gerrymandered district is the current map we're on.
I'm not saying anything about the current map.
But I am. Because it's racially drawn.
We believe the court's going to rule in our favor and declare the current map is an unconstitutional racial gerrymander.
So, I mean, both of these questions,
For a better solution, though, Chris? Because I think a lot of people want to know that. Will you work for a better solution they will not call racially discriminatory?
In 2032, whoever the chairman of the committee is, I can assure you. Listen, when I drew the maps in 2021, I caught grief. Because I kept the lawyer as my legal counsel that guided the Democrats when they were drawing their maps, okay? I kept him because he is an intelligent lawyer that understands reapportionment law. We followed his legal advice. Before those plans were even introduced, the lawsuits had already been filed against us. The lawsuits don't sue me. They sue the Secretary of State and the Attorney General. We at that time then had to rely on the Attorney General, which means the Solicitor General of the state of Alabama, to argue the case. You've heard me say this before. He did a horrible job arguing the case, and we lost. Period.
Yep.
There we go. All right, Clint, I appreciate it. I do think this is interesting, though, that if we're going to say, hey, the problem is these are racially drawn, then a pox on both houses, you know, I could say, because the current map, by what the Calais decision, you can't do that either. You can't. Don't tell me it was racially driven. That's why I keep asking this question. If there was a white Democrat in office in 2 and 7, I think you, the Republicans in Alabama, would try to redraw it anyway, too, because it's a Democrat. Am I right or wrong?
It's a political decision.
Correct. Like if there was Democrat in those two offices, y'all would be, you'd try to redraw that district.
The same way I was there when the Democrats were running reapportionment and they were drawing, you know, as many black districts as they could possibly draw. And they were, if they had a Republican, they could throw the Republican out, they did it. I mean, the problem with redistricting is you're never going to get politics out of politics. And all these nonpartisan, you know, redistricting commissions, they're all appointed by politicians. Half of them fall apart. They can't come to a conclusion. Just throw it to the courts because the amount of pressure to draw these maps is unbelievable.
You've relayed some of that to me before, to the point that we can go back to lessons learned before. How tight what margin of error do you have in drawing a federal congressional?
There are seven districts. Six of them have the same exact number of people. One district has one person more. That's it.
That's how tight it is. I mean, you have to do that.
Yeah, and everybody's like, why can't you draw a whole county plan?
Right.
Because you can't get de minimis deviation at a whole county plan. You have to split counties, the minimum number of counties, to get down to that deviation.
What about being a throwback about, you know, communities of interest and all that? Yes, split counties, but there is some language to a community of interest, trying not to split a city or a town, those kind of things. I mean, is that stuff old? Is that not even in the mix anymore?
We try and keep voting precincts whole. We try and keep cities whole, counties whole as best we can. You know, but if you want to delve into this, you know what one of our problems is? The same counties that we have problems with and everything else, they won't update their census data, their census blocks. The census blocks are how you draw your city's, you know, if you have a census block and the city goes and annexes property into that census block, if the city doesn't let us know, we're not going to pick that up in the census. If you've gone in, if you don't let the census know that you've annexed part of that block and they move it so it goes into the city and the other stays in the county,
I got you.
They won't update their census blocks. And they won't. Listen, our census in 2020, 2 weeks before the census deadline, we were like, I don't know, 60, 65%.
Yeah, I remember that. You had like no time. Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, we magically got the 99% response rate.
Yeah.
It was made up. It was just plucked out of thin air.
Wait, so my joy that we did show up for the census, so because if y'all remember back then, there was a chance, at least a threat was, we could lose a congressional district. You know, not have seven, we'd have six. And then you know, get out the census, whatever, it's not get out the vote, but get out the response. And then somehow we went from, they were threatening we might have such a low census return number, and then all of a sudden,
poof, the Census Bureau got it to 99% in 2 weeks. I still haven't figured out how that happened.
Have we ever had 99% response in census in Alabama?
I don't think it exists.
This texture asks.
That 2020 census was a disaster. It's been proven that it was wrong. They pushed us. I had three months to try and do all this redistricting because the census data was released so late.
Because what people may not know, you can't do your thing until you know how many people you're dealing with.
Exactly.
This texture, I think it's worth just mentioning here, said, how will these rulings affect the Zogby rule that limits Mobile expansion on racial grounds? That's politics.
Now,
that's
the Zogby rule instills the supermajority vote on issues, certain issues.
But they decide whether that by vote.
And the city votes on annexation, so it's not.
It has
nothing to do with it.
Killer B says, why not just draw them along section, township, and range lines? Yeah, you couldn't do that because of population.
Well, I tell you why, because your census blocks have to be along identifiable geographic roads or power lines or railroad tracks, and section lines run through the woods, and they're oftentimes not marked.
Yeah.
So there's no, you can't say who lives on one side or the other in the woods.
Michael says the 6-1 map of 2023 was admittedly drawn based on race. What Clint is poorly stating is, why are we going back? A new 7-0 political map, a 7-0 political base map that's colorblind is what the spineless legislature should have done. The go for all of it.
Huh? Again, I'm going to let you in a little secret. In 2021, we turned race off on the computer. You remember the courts?
I wish we'd do that in life.
But well, the courts told us in 17 that we'd relied too much on race in our legislative redistricting in 14 to turn race off and draw those. That's what we did. We turned race off. We redrew the districts. The court said, perfect. That's exactly what we want. Don't look at race while you're drawing. 2021, we drew a race turned off. And the courts hit us and said, wrong. You've got to go back and draw exclusively.
Even though they told you that's what they wanted.
The court will never give us a direct answer on what we want.
Can I get your quote here? Because you said this to me before. The court will only do what?
Tell you no after the fact.
They'll never tell you what to do beforehand.
No, they only tell you no after the fact. And they change it. It's like all these people yelling and screaming they did away with Section 2. They did not do away with Section 2.
Okay, I want to pick that up, too, because a lot of people have heard that over the weekend, that it was done away with. I mean, there's news reports that go on. Come back more with Chris Sprinkle on this in just a minute.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right now, 153 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Check in with the professor, my buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Get a Monday set here on precious metals prices. Ron, what you seeing out there?
How you doing, sir?
I'm good. What you seeing right now? I mean, gold, silver today, what are they doing?
It's a good mix of people buying and selling, about 50-50. It's where we like. So it's nice to replace what you sell every day without having to go out and buy it from wholesalers. So a pretty healthy market. I mean, prices are up. Gold's trending back up $4,725, and silver's up to $85.86. And it's been about 6 weeks since silver's broke $80 again. So everything's pretty healthy. Platinum and palladium are also up.
And so, okay, now you're both of them?
Yep.
Okay.
Both of them.
We'll have to, at a future show, we're going to have you once again talk to folks about do car builds and what it does to platinum and palladium prices, because that's part of this formula.
Yeah, and Sean, right now about half the catalytic converter makers are using platinum and the other half are using platinum. So it's a good mix. It's been a long time since they had a mix of different, you know, catalytic converters. There's only four of them. Two of the makers are using platinum, two of them are using palladium.
All
so
right.
Once they all switch over to one of the metals will drop and one will go up. But right now, that's what they're doing.
Okay, that's when I buy. All right, tell folks how to find you.
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com or just give us a call at 251-725-1590.
Hey, thanks, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right, there goes Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Just a couple minutes left here with Chris Pringle. And it's... you know, right now, we're just in a waiting pattern. I can't imagine, though, but then again, I'm just a talk show host, that it may not happen at the time frame, but I can't. How could SCOTUS say that the injunction remains on Alabama and the Milligan case with what they said, Clay? I mean, they're not exactly duplicated, but they're pretty close, right?
They are close, and that's the reason why we think we have a good argument. And, you know, we had an appeal before them. Basically, they just said, okay, these guys have an appeal before us, so this Calais case is not, we're not going to undo that until we look at it again. So that's what they're going to do this week. And I cannot emphasize this enough. Do not listen to these hucksters who are running around yelling they threw out the Voting Rights Act.
Yeah,
they did not. The Voting Rights Act is still fully in place. You cannot violate the Voting Rights Act. We disagree with a court rule. And we have the same constitutional rights as a state, as everybody else, to appeal that ruling. We are appealing the ruling. We are asking the United States Supreme Court to render an opinion that we think is the right opinion, that the federal court got it wrong, and they need to go back to the 2023 race. But just like everybody else, if the court does not grant us that, and that's all this special session was about, was if the court grants us the ability to go back to the 2023 maps, we're going to hold an election and we're going to nominate people and we're going to elect them in November. If they don't, I promise you, I will follow what a federal court tells me to do. I have the right to appeal it. I have the right to disagree with it, but I do not have the right to not follow it without getting in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to follow the law. I just disagree with what the court said.
Well, I mean, that's our system, isn't it?
That's the way it works. Everybody has the right to appeal. That's the beauty of our system. You have the right to appeal to a certain point. Once you get to the Supreme Court,
right, then, you're done, yeah.
Then you're done. But even the Supreme Court, you can actually appeal it, but then they can turn around and say no to you.
Well, I mean, the Supreme Court's in the business of overturning lower court decisions.
That's the reason they're there, and they do it all the time. That's what they did in Calais. They overturned the Fifth
Circuit. Yeah. And so, I mean, is that, and I may be getting out too far on this limb here, is that precedent setting? I mean, Calais, their decision in the Calais case, I mean, it seems like it sets precedent, right?
Oh, it always sets precedent. And that's what it's done. It set a precedent that narrows the way people can bring the Section 2 challenges. It leaves Section 2 in place, but it narrows the way they, the claims they have to make in order to get a Section 2.
So Section 2 is still there.
They can't just say because black vote Democrat and whites vote Republican, that's proof of racial discrimination. They have to go in and say, no black can get elected in a majority white district, which has been proven wrong numerous times.
Yep.
No white can get elected in a majority black district. I drew Charlotte Meadows out of her district. She was furious at me. I said, Charlotte, I can't undo 10 years of out-migration by white people. Your district is now majority black. I cannot and will not racially gerrymander to save you. It's a Section 2 violation. She hates me because of that. But they elected a white man in that district.
How about that? Chris, as always, man, I appreciate you coming on, explaining it in detail. And we'll do it again soon. And reminder, everybody, week from tomorrow, still go vote.
Go vote.
May 19th. Everybody's voting.
Those elections will stand for almost every single thing on the ballot.
10-4. Paul Feinbaum next.